Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Discipline, self-control, and honesty are hallmarks of a godly life. As parents and grandparents, we should make a serious effort to instill these virtues into subsequent generations, even if it means lovingly using the rod of correction. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 23, verse 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter.
Verse 6, eat not thou the bread of him that has an evil eye. Now, the evil eye speaks of someone that is grudging or stingy or selfish. Neither desire thou his dainty meats or his delicacies. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up. It will end up in bitterness, and you will lose your sweet words. Again, Scripture warning against receiving favors from an insincere host. I don't mean to be touching a nerve, but have you ever had somebody invite you over for dinner? But there was a motive behind it. Well, you know, Pastor, we thought we'd invite you over tonight because. I thought you wanted to have us over tonight because you wanted to have us over for dinner. What's the hook? What are you looking for? What do you want? You know, and probably every one of us have been, it just happens. That's life in this world. You know, they fatten you up before the request. It happens a lot of times in church life, corporate life. It's just this world under the sun. Now, the first few verses that we covered in this proverb warned us about letting our spiritual guard down when invited to a banquet prepared by royalty with the motive of using a luscious meal in an attempt to influence us to side in with either their ungodly position or they're going to be asking us to do something. Hey, I had you over for dinner. Would you be on my side when we go to war against that country over there? I can imagine the dinners that Solomon and David must have gone to. It had to be something else. Verses 6 and 8 is a warning about eating the food placed before you by a stingy person who talks like he or she is really glad that you accepted the dinner invitation, but in their heart, they are thinking about how much the meal cost. Now, why is this in the Bible? Because there are people that think like this. There are people that think like this. This kind of hospitality is really nauseating. And you wonder, why did it ever come here? In fact, the implication behind the proverb is that this insincere offer to have you over for dinner is not because they really want to bless you and have fellowship with you. And again, there may be an ulterior motive or some kind of an agenda. Now, it says, eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with you. So he really or she really or they really do not mean what they say. But here's the thing, beloved. You and I may be able to fool others, but you're not fooling God. God knows the real motives behind everything that we do. Everything. He knows the motives. God knows what we do and why we do it and who we do it for. And God is saying there are going to be times when in your life there may be some dinner thing similar to this. And don't be surprised if at times there's an agenda for the dinner. There's an agenda for the meal. Verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, literally a self-confident fool, for he will despise or scorn the wisdom of your words. The Hebrew word for fool here can also mean someone who is thick-headed or stubborn. Probably nobody here tonight, but but have you ever been a little thick-headed or stubborn at all times? I have to say, you know. Don't speak in the ears of a self-confident fool. He's going to despise the wisdom of your words. And here's why. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. A fool really doesn't want to hear the truth. In fact, when you're talking to them, they're not even listening to what you say from the scriptures. They have their answer. They've got their speech. They've got their agenda already memorized. They just want to vent their opinion. And that's why I think it's so important for you and I to be listening to the Holy Spirit at all times when we're engaged in conversations with people who do not know Christ. How we need to be discerning. The Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's a reason why that's in the scripture. Everything is in the scripture for a purpose, isn't it, beloved? Every single thing. There's nothing that is irrelevant. It's in there for our learning. When we do speak, here's the thing. May we speak the truth in love for the glory of God. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their redeemer, or the goel, the kinsman redeemer, is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. And that used to happen quite often back then. They would have these boulders that would be landmarks. And it was not uncommon for someone in the middle of the night, when your candlelight was out, to go out there and move the boulder over. And all of a, and you're, you know, over a period of about a week or so, you've lost like 10 feet of land. You go, what's going on? Well, there was a warning against this. Fudging your landmark. You ever get into a landmark battle with your neighbor or something? Well, you know, that tree is in your yard. And so all of these things. It's just what happens here on this planet. Well, in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, it says, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Stealing land or moving a boundary line was bad, but stealing land from children of the deceased landowner was despicable. Because when you did that, you're messing with the goel, the kinsman redeemer. And how many times does God say in scripture that when you do this to the poor, or when you move a landmark of someone that is that doesn't have a dad on earth or something, you mess with them, you're really messing with me. Remember when God says, when you mess with Israel, you're messing with the apple of my eye? How many of you know that this still is going on today? And boy, there's a whole lot of divine intervention happening today over what's going on. The Redeemer is mighty. Isn't our Redeemer mighty, beloved? Our Redeemer, our Goel, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You know what the word apply means? Put into practice. Isn't that why we study the scripture? Isn't that why we read the Bible? So that when God speaks to us, we hear what he says. We renew our mind with the word of God. We don't read the Bible and then he says something that perhaps is challenging us to live differently, and then go, you know what? I'm not so sure if I believe that. No. When God speaks to us, when he corrects us, we are to apply that to our lives. James says, be doers of the word, what? And not hearers only. For if an individual is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he deceives himself. Luke 6, 46 through 49, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Pretty simple. Jesus said, to whosoever come to me. Well, when you come to him, he begins to give you instruction, doesn't he? He begins to teach you. He begins to disciple you. And he says, when you hear my words, pray, apply it to your life. Because that's how we grow. That's how we mature. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Just love that verse. Lord, teach us, teach every one of us here tonight to number our days that we may use your wisdom as we go throughout this day. Verse 13, withhold not correction or discipline from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat, or the Hebrew is strike him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell, or Sheol, the place of the dead. Discipline is a part of bringing up our children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, isn't it? It's the parents' responsibility, primarily, to raise the children. It's not the church's responsibility. The church can only assist you in raising your children in the Lord. The family is the primary source for your children to receive teaching and learning about God and godliness. That's just what the Bible says. Children must be instructed. They must be encouraged to take the instruction seriously as a basis for their living. We're seeing this all the way throughout the book of Proverbs, aren't we? Discipline, which means directive and corrective training, is necessary to have our children, our sons and our daughters, grow up to primarily be God-fearing, Christ-following sons, daughters, grandsons, and granddaughters. The Family Bible program said, our Heavenly Father prefers that we should weep now under his chastening rod, rather than perish at last through the want of timely discipline. Discipline. It's not a very popular word in this day and age, is it? And yet, parenting isn't for wimps, is it? No. They'll try your patience. Now, being a grandfather, I understand now why I was told you should have had the grandchildren first. And yet, here's the thing. Maybe some of you parents have a prodigal tonight. My heart goes out to you. And maybe you have a prodigal and you raised them in the ways of the Lord. Know this. Your responsibility is to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Their responsibility is to obey the ways that you teach them. Don't think for one second that God will wink at their disobedience and let them go scot-free just because they're your son or daughter. They have to learn to obey. You have to learn to obey. And if you have a prodigal, pray. And pray if you raised him or her in the ways of the Lord, because the Bible does give us a promise. And when they are old, doesn't say how old, they will come back to you. That may be 50 years old. You say, yeah, but my son or daughter is only 25. You've raised them in that way. You pray. You pray for them. You know, the Lord disciplines us. The Bible says, whom he loves, he chastens. You know, one of the ways that we know that we're a child of God, we don't get away with the things we used to get away with, right? You can't get away with speaking with a cross tongue to somebody like you used to, or looking at things, even if it's a glance that you ought not to be looking at. God chastens you. Isn't that great? I love it. I absolutely love it. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastens us. that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 15, my son, if your heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when your lips speak right things. A wise heart will be the source of speaking right things. How much truer is that for us as children of the living God? Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, these words, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. I love the promise of God in Malachi 3:16. Let me read it to you. Malachi 3:16. Talk about the things we talk about. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Just speaking to one another about the Lord, about the character of God, about the beauty of God, about the redemption of God. And the Lord hears. He hearkens. What a thing to talk. What? That's the kind of conversation. Godly, Christ-centered, edifying conversation. Things that build one another up. Helping one another grow in the Lord. The world looks like they're having a lot of fun. Boy, those commercials. They make you think, oh man, that they are having the time of their life. How many of you were having the time of your life and it led you right to the cross of Christ and asking for forgiveness and mercy? Amen and amen, right? Now we know why life is worth living. It's because of Christ. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day. In a society that really dwells on pleasure and luxury, how important it is for you and I to cultivate godly contentment, to be thankful and satisfied with all that God has provided for us, and not to be lured by anyone or anything that seems to offer us something that will make our life a little happier, a little bit more fulfilling. Instead of envying those who ignore God's way, pleasing the Lord should be the believer's top priority. This is the first of six references to thine heart in this chapter. We learned in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep or guide thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, you know why we're told this? Because my flesh and your flesh is prone to envy sinners, especially those who are wealthy or those who are handsome or successful or good looking. There's in that flesh, just even if it be for a moment, well, man, if I only had what they have. Knowing our carnal propensity to this, our Heavenly Father tells us, don't make that fatal mistake. It is only by fearing God that we are able to see through the exterior appeal of the pleasures and attractions of this world. George Swinnock, a Puritan writer, wrote this, quote, if a man were to offer you a bag of gold or a bag of brass tokens, a bag of pearls or a bag of sand, which would you choose? To choose the things of the world is like choosing a broken cistern before a fountain of living water, dirt before diamonds, drops before the ocean. Don't envy sinners, but be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Why? Verse 18, for surely there is an end. Or in the Hebrew, it means there is another life. There's more than life here on planet Earth. And your expectation, beloved, will not be cut off. The immediate pleasure of sin cannot be compared with the ultimate satisfaction that stems from fearing God. Bishop Ryrie wrote these words, "Don't be unduly burdened by the problems of the present, but allow a proper perspective on the future to help you maintain a buoyant attitude in the present." Psalm 73 reveals how easy it is for those who love the Lord to be deceived by the lifestyle of the lost when we get our eyes off of Jesus and only look at things from a natural perspective. One pastor wrote these words, "In all my years of ministry, I have yet to hear someone voice regret over not sinning more. Yet multiplied thousands of times, I have heard people express deep regret over the sins of their past. Don't envy sinners, because sin brings nothing but despair and death. On the other hand, you will never once be disappointed by serving, loving, and obeying the Lord." You know, when the Lord traps someone in a life of sin and then they get convicted, how beautiful it is to see them respond. This is a true story. I was going on an ice cream run for my family that took a little bit longer than usual. I happened to run into an individual in Wegmans in the frozen food department. Said, "Pastor Ray, we got to talk." I'm thinking, okay. And one thing led to another. And this individual says, "Can we pray?" They hold out their hands. And I'm thinking, okay. And this is like, I mean, this is so beautiful. And there's a brother in the Lord working in Frozen, and he's praying. And this individual is pointing out to her, "I got to get out of this situation. It's not godly. I can't take it anymore. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me." And we're praying. Then we open our eyes, and everybody's looking fine. She bought the bait, but then God intervened. Isn't it beautiful how when he intervenes and he gives you the grace to turn around? There it is. She could care less how many people were walking by. And immediately I'm the one saying, "Could we pray in maybe a quieter place than this?" The point I'm trying to make is how God is so great. She said, "I got caught in this trap. I was envious. I thought that maybe this would make my life thrilling. It's not making it thrilling. I'm feeling filthy. I'm feeling dirty." And I told them, "Just obey the Lord. It's going to be okay. And she's going to be okay. Don't envy sinners." There is another life. Verse 19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Once again, the importance of guiding our hearts in the ways of the Lord. They're like street signs, aren't they? The word of God. "Be not among wine bibbers," the New American Standard, I believe, says heavy drinkers or drunkards, "or among riotous eaters of the flesh," or gluttons. "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." And we learn in the Proverbs that overeating and overdrinking and oversleeping results in poverty, spiritually and materially. And the danger here is from being among bad company. It's been said, and you've heard it, if you hang around with dogs, you can expect to get fleas. People rub off on one another. Now, you know, we hear a lot of teaching and preaching from the pulpit about drunkenness, and it's a horrible, horrible thing for people to get hung up. Then it turns into a disease, and it's very, very sad. But when was the last time you heard a Sunday morning message on gluttony, right? "The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty." Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21. And every one of you are going to say, if you haven't read this passage in a while, "I am so glad I didn't live back then." "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them," remember that's what I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago, "then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard.' And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones so that he die. So shall you put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." The point I'm trying to make is that gluttony is a serious sin. But we don't think of it, do we? But there it is in Scripture. There is such a thing as abusing food. And here the drunkard and the glutton put in the same sentence. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy name.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.